Thank you, Pastor JB, for that very kind introduction. I am so excited to be here for the Thrive Series Love Infusion and how to infuse more love into our everyday relationships. Today, I want to talk about one of the most significant ways that we can help a significant other in our lives feel more loved. And whether that person be a spouse, or a friend, or a child, or a parent, or a neighbor, or even a coworker. And that is to practice listening. Now, we may think we listen all the time. Our ears are always on. And we may think that we're good at listening. But actually, most of us have fairly poor listening skills. So let me start with a question. What makes you feel heard? When you have a conversation with someone, what makes you walk away thinking, wow, that person saw me, that person understood me, that person was giving me the dignity of their attention? Sometimes we have unreasonable expectations of feeling heard. Like we may say, well, I feel heard when the person agrees with me. And if they don't agree with me, then clearly they're not listening. However, listening well doesn't always mean agreeing. So if that's our metric for feeling heard, we will often be disappointed or put unreasonable expectations on the other person. So I propose to you this morning that the most important metric to feeling heard is whether or not we feel understood. Whether the person agrees with us or doesn't agree with us, do they understand us? Do they understand where we're coming from? Generally speaking, a person who deeply listens and seeks to understand us feels like a safe person to talk to. And we feel heard after a conversation with them. So another question may be, are you a safe person to talk to? Dallas Willard said, the first act of love is the giving of attention. So let's explore this concept in Scripture. The Bible speaks of three listening relationships or three relationships that give attention to the other. And the first listening relationship that the Bible speaks about is the relationship of God to His people. One reason that the poet, the person who wrote so many Psalms, loves God is because God listens. He says at the opening of Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. The psalmist feels heard by God. Another example of God listening to His people comes from Luke 18, where Jesus heals a blind beggar. He's walking through this busy environment, and Jesus hears this voice crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus brings the man to him, he doesn't assume that he knows what the man wants. He asks him, what do you want me to do for you? That man felt heard by Jesus. He knew he was significant to Jesus. The second relationship, listening relationship that the Bible speaks about is God's people listening to God. Jesus says to the seven churches in Revelation, whoever has ears to hear, let them listen to what the Spirit is saying. Jesus also says at the end of the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And the very next parable after that, he says, pay attention to how you hear. God wants to be heard by His people. But the third listening relationship that the Bible speaks about is between one another, between you and me, between you and a significant person in your life. James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." It is clear that God wants us to hear one another. So, in summary, God listens to you. He deeply listens. He's not too busy. He is not distracted. But also, God wants you to listen to Him, to deeply listen, to not be too busy, to not be distracted. And also, in life with one another, God wants us to listen to one another, and even says listening is more important than speaking. And it's this third listening relationship on which I want to focus today. How can we listen well to one another? How can we infuse more love into our relationships by giving people the dignity of our attention and listening well? Now, I'm going to throw out this caveat to you, and that is I also need to grow in my ability to listen. I don't know about you, but sometimes when it comes to conversations and listening and understanding, sometimes I feel like I just crush it. Like, oh yeah, that person felt heard. And sometimes I am crushed by it. I just completely mess up the listening part. And if I'm honest, the sad truth is that often the closer a person is to me in relationship, the more likely I am to mess up my listening. And I don't know, perhaps the same is for you. You know, maybe your coworkers say you're a great listener, but your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or kids might say differently. Listening is a spiritual practice, and it is an act of love. In fact, take those close relationships away for a moment. According to several experts, listening is actually the most important skill a salesperson can have. Also, according to the former CEO of Alpha USA, they said, in today's society, the most important evangelistic skill is listening. But the problem is that most of our sharing and training about bringing Jesus to others is about what you're supposed to say, not how you're supposed to listen. So it's time to let go of that old sort of evangelism map and start building our listening skills. Listening is how I give dignity to other people. And it is a very gracious expression of love. And it applies to everyone in our lives, from our spouse to the servers who serve us at the restaurants to our coworkers. Now, for those of you that are part of a small group here at Thrive, when you meet with your small group, you are going to take a very short quiz at your next group gathering. And the quiz is called, How Well Do I Listen? But this morning, let's talk about some general guidelines when it comes to loving other people through listening. And before we get on to listening well, let's just talk about a few things we do that signify we're not listening well. These, you can call them conversation misdemeanors. Now, I read these conversation misdemeanors somewhere, but I don't know where. I can't remember where. So they're not all my own words. So whoever's out there, great on you for writing them. Conversation misdemeanors. I'm talking here from both a close relationship perspective, like conversations you have with a loved one and coworkers, but even from a more spiritual perspective, like maybe spiritual conversations you have with other people about Jesus. So, conversation misdemeanor number one, hijacking the conversation, meaning when we steer the conversation in the direction we want it to go. If I do all the talking and all the steering, all the manipulating, then I won't be doing any listening. I'll have no idea of the other person's desires or hurts or needs or what God is doing in their lives. Hijacking the conversation is a misdemeanor that we have all done at one time or another. Misdemeanor number two is exceeding the speed limit, meaning dumping on the person all the information you want to tell them about a certain issue. We oversupply people with words about how we're feeling about certain things without seeking to understand how they are feeling. Misdemeanor number three, failing to observe the signal. Sometimes I proceed when I should stop, and sometimes I stop when I should go. Or maybe I just recklessly move ahead when I should have proceeded with caution. There is a proper time and procedure for every matter. When it comes to things like spiritual conversations with people about Jesus, these misdemeanors are killers. Like if we exceed the speed limit and dump all the information we know about Jesus, all the spiritual truth, we will not understand how they feel, and more importantly, we will kill the demand for more information. These misdemeanors are things that all of us do, often without realizing it. Hijacking the conversation, exceeding the speed limit, or failing to observe the signal. However, if you want to create God space in a conversation, if you want a person to feel loved, heard, understood, nothing creates God space faster than spirit-led listening. Listening communicates, I accept you and I respect you. Can you think of a time when you were listened to in a very non-judgmental, agenda-free, compassionate way? How did that make you feel? And when was the last time you gave that gift to another person? So with that in mind, let's talk about some key principles in spirit-led listening. And the first key principle is that we have to understand and accept that listening is hard work. It is hard work to listen. It takes effort to tune out the noise and to focus on truly hearing. Sometimes I minister as a spiritual director and I offer people spiritual direction. And I'll be honest, after a spiritual direction session of 60 minutes, I am often emotionally drained because I am working so hard to listen and see the person, to help the person feel heard, and to create the space for them to also converse with God and hear Him and talk to Him. To listen well, we have to overcome the noise because noise robs us of the ability to listen. Dave Ferguson offers three kinds of noise that we need to tune out if we want to listen well to someone. The first noise is simply physical noise, the noise of the environment around us. But also there is the psychological noise of that busy mind we have, right? Someone's talking and we're thinking about something else. We have to be able to tune that out so we can focus in on the person before us. And then the third kind of noise is a physiological noise. That's the feeling something in our body, making it hard to pay attention. Maybe our emotions are coming up, and we have to be able to tune that out in order to focus in on what the person is saying to us and make them feel heard. So first key principle to spirit-led listening. Understand and accept that listening is hard work. The second principle is understand and accept that listening might be uncomfortable. This is my number two misdemeanor in conversations with my wife. I'll tell you the number one misdemeanor in a moment. But this is one that comes up in my life a lot. Sometimes we don't listen because the topic makes us feel uncomfortable. Or the level of emotion makes us feel uncomfortable. Or it's because it's the fourth time we've heard our parents say this to us in a week. If we want to love a person by listening to them, we must be prepared to get out of our comfort zone. Deep listening can be uncomfortable, but we move toward people in our life by listening to them. And here's a pro tip for you. This is from experience. If there is a topic that comes up again and again and again, it's often because the other person has not felt heard up to this point. And so they have to bring it up again because they don't feel like you've heard them. And so if we can help people feel heard, give them the dignity of attention and listen well, help them feel understood, that topic will likely come up much less because they know you understand them and you get it. Okay, the third principle of spirit-led listening is ask good questions and look for common ground to help you understand and to help the person feel understood. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he wrote, "Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood." I think he was just riffing off of Proverbs 18:3, which says, "It is stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen." So ask good questions and look for common ground to help you understand and help the other person feel understood. The next principle of spirit-led listening, this is a big one, is to surrender the direction of the conversation and just release your agenda. You don't have to know where the conversation is headed in order to engage with it. We often have an agenda in our mind when we're in conversation. And sometimes to help a person feel loved and heard, we just need to surrender that agenda and let the conversation take a life of its own. The fifth principle of spirit-led listening is validate and verify before moving on. So let me give you some examples. Try putting these phrases into your conversations. So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying, and then repeat back what you think they're saying. Or let me make sure I'm tracking with you, and then repeat back what you think they're saying. Or you're saying that you feel, and you can paraphrase that feeling, because, and then you can paraphrase that thought. Is that right? Or also, you could say something like, so the really important thing for you is, and then fill in that blank. Phrases like that help you validate them, help you validate your understanding of them, help them feel heard. Okay, the second to last principle for spirit-led listening is this. This is my number one misdemeanor when it comes to conversations with my wife. You can ask her. If she were here, she would jump up and say, yes, he does this a lot more than she wants. And that is, you need to ask permission before you offer a solution. When a friend or a coworker or a loved one needs to talk about something, we don't always listen to understand. We listen to fix and are ready to give them a few options on how to solve their issue. Yet most people don't want your expertise unless they specifically ask for it. Rather, they want your support and they want your understanding. So always, if you can remember, ask permission before you offer a solution. And then finally, the final principle for spirit-led listening. If your goal is helping a person feel loved, like if your goal is to infuse more love into this relationship by this conversation, when you are invited to speak, be brief. Because your goal is to love them by making sure they feel heard. You can have another conversation at another time about how you feel so that you can feel heard, but in that first conversation, why not try making it about helping them feel heard? Better yet, yeah, keep your thoughts to yourself and wait for that second conversation unless you have words of understanding and words of encouragement to offer. Most people are more interested in what they have to say than hearing what another person has to say. We're really bad at this, I think. So that means sometimes when we're not talking and someone else is talking, we're actually just waiting for our turn to speak. And we are formulating our response in our head, even while that person is still talking. You cannot listen well if you are thinking about your response before that first person before you is done talking. Keep the spotlight on them and what they want to talk about. Meaningful conversations happen when we accept where people are at in their relationship with us and their relationship with God. Let me wrap up with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. What if I speak in the most elegant languages of people or in the exotic languages of the heavenly messengers, but I live without love? Well, then, anything I say is like the clanging of brass or a crashing cymbal. What if I have the gift of prophecy and blessed with knowledge and insight to all the mysteries? Or what if my faith is strong enough to scoop a mountain from its bedrock, yet I live without love? If so, I am nothing. I could give all I have to feed the poor. I could surrender my body to be burned as a martyr. But if I do not live in love, I gain nothing by my selfless acts. Did you catch the opening line of that passage? It said, without love, anything I say is like the clanging of brass or a crashing cymbal. In a conversation, the way you infuse love is not first by the words you say, but by the act of listening. And if we are just determined to say what we want to say without listening, the person will not feel loved, and our words will be like a crashing cymbal. David Augsburger said, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. When people in our lives feel unheard, they feel unknown. And unheard plus unknown equals feeling unloved. But the opposite is also true. feeling heard equals feeling known. And being heard plus being known equals feeling loved. Jesus was a listener. He models listening throughout the Gospels. In fact, according to the book, Jesus is the Question, the Gospels record Jesus asking 307 questions and answering only three. A part of Jesus' way of loving others was to listen to them, to give them the dignity of his attention, without trying to manipulate a conversation, without trying just to get his own words in and not truly listen. He gave people his attention. They felt heard. They felt understood, which means they felt loved. Jesus always listened to understand, and he listened to the heart. So, if you want to be like Jesus, start listening to the people in your lives. We cannot bless the world without listening to people. I'm going to invite Pastor JB back to wrap up the service.
Can we thank God for that message and also give some appreciation to Pastor Nick? Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I need to be a better listener? You're not alone. I need to be a better listener as well. I think we all do. You know, I'm not on Facebook a lot. I don't know if you are constantly scrolling Facebook or not. I don't go on Facebook that often, but I did something on Facebook just yesterday that I have not done in many, many years. You know what it is? I changed my profile pic. All right, and so if you see me, if you look for me on Facebook, you'll find that, wow, it's actually a different picture now. And for people who don't know us well, finally they can see that I have not just one son, but two sons, okay? And they'll see that they're not, you know, super, super young anymore. And, you know, one of the things on Facebook is that, you know, when you see people on Facebook, you only see a certain angle. You only see a certain part of their lives. And of course, people don't reveal everything about themselves on Facebook. You never see a profile pic of, you know, two people arguing or, you know, someone in this their darkest, most shameful moment. You won't see that. You'll usually just see the happy moments. And the fact is, you know, the Lim family, Pastor Shar, myself, our boys, we're a happy family. I think we're a pretty great family. Do we go through conflicts at home? Yes, we do, as any family does. And I find this is that, you know, very often I can still relate to what Pastor Nick was sharing about how there's times when you're upset with someone and you're talking it out. And when you're talking it out, you're not really listening to the other person. You're just kind of sharing what's on your mind and what you feel, your position, your opinion. And when they talk, you catch one thing from what they said, and now you're formulating your argument against them. That's called listening to respond. We do that all the time. And one thing that I find is often the turning point in an argument or in a conflict. For example, between Pastor Shar and myself, if we're, you know, having a conflict, we're having an argument, the turning point so often, and it could be late at night when we're in the bedroom, or it could be, you know, when we're sitting on the two different, you know, seats, maybe kind of far away from each other, but the turning point is when we're finally willing to listen. We're finally willing to hear the other person out, and where we don't interrupt and we don't try to talk over them and we don't kind of harp on everything that they're saying, but we just sit and we listen to what the other person is saying and we let them talk. And, you know, we might not agree with everything they're saying. There might be things we want to respond to, but we give them that opportunity to be heard. And then when it's, you know, the other person's time to talk, we'll share. And we might respond to a few things, but we're also trying to let the other person know, I hear you. You know, I'm sorry that you felt that way. I'm sorry for what I did there. And it's about learning to listen, not just to respond, but to listen to understand. I think we can all work on that when it comes to being better listeners. If you believe that, if you could use that as well, say amen. We can all work on that. We can all be better listeners. You know, and speaking of being a better listener, I'm curious, how well did you listen to the message just now? What was the first verse that Pastor Nick shared with us today? It's from James 1:19. It's not on the screen, so you have to rely on how well you listened just now. James 1:19 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And that is awesome advice for all of us here. Is we want, if we want to be great listeners, we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So often we're the opposite. Instead of being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, we're quick to get angry. We're quick to speak. We're slow to listen. But if we want to become more like Jesus, and if we want to infuse our conversations and our relationships with more love, it's about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Question for you today. When you look at the way you've been relating to people this past week, even just this past 7 days, how well have you been listening? Have you been quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry? Or have you been quick to speak, quick to become angry, quick to judge? And don't even try to understand. You hear one little thing, you see one little thing, and you're on them as if, you know, like a tiger on some prey. You're going after that person without really even making an attempt to understand where they're coming from. See, we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And so if you could use help in this area today, then I want to encourage you to stand in this place today. In fact, let's all stand, because we all need help in this area. If you could use some help when it comes to being a better listener, or you just know that you need to be a better listener and you want to be, I want to encourage you to bring that to prayer to God today, who wants to help infuse love into your relationships. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to lift your hands to God today. Lift your hands if you need more of God today. Lift your hands if you want to be a better listener when it comes to your relationships. And in your own words, I just encourage you just to start talking to God and ask God to help you be a better listener, to be someone who listens, not just to respond, but listens to understand, who takes the time to listen to others. And with that in mind, we just start talking to God. Don't even wait for me to stop talking. Just start talking to God today. Give God everything you need to God. Give God today. Just respond to today's message. Respond to what God is doing in your heart right now. Online as well. Don't just watch other people responding. But wherever you are, we just respond to God right now. Give God what's on your heart. Give God that burden. Give God that care. Give God that desire. Give God that concern. Ask God for help today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Just give everything to God today. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, church. Just give everything to God today. Everything you need to give God. Make this your moment with God right now. Talk to God today. Be real with God today. Ask God for help today. Lift that worry into God's hands. Lift that relationship to God's hands. Make this your moment with God right now. That's it. Praise you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you want to be a better listener, I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Listen to me and just repeat it after me. Say, "Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I need you.
I need you.
I want to infuse, more love, into my relationships. So please help me to be a better listener. To listen well.
To listen to understand.
Not just to respond.
But to hear people.
And let them know. I love them.
I love them.
I accept them.
I accept them.
I understand them.
I understand
or
them.
I'm trying to.
Or I'm trying to.
So please help me today.
So please help me
to be a better listener.
To be a better listener.
Thank you. For being the best listener.
For being the best listener.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Would you give God your praise in this place together right now? Amen. The message of the gospel of Jesus is that God heard our cry, that God is the greatest listener of all, that when we had a need, when we could not reach God on our own, when we were separate from God because of the things we've done and said, because of our sin, when we had no way of reaching God, God heard our cry. He listened to our need, which is a need for Him, a need for a Savior. He sent Jesus Christ to be the answer to our need. And so He died on the cross to pay for our sins. If you've never received Jesus into your life, if you've never received the forgiveness that Jesus made possible on the cross for you, then I want to encourage you to respond to God today. If you can hear God's Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, to respond to the gift of salvation and forgiveness that God wants to give you, I want to encourage you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, you want to respond to God's offer of forgiveness, God's offer of salvation, God's offer of a relationship with Him. Not because you're so good, but because God is good. Because Jesus died on the cross for you. If you want to receive that today, why don't you lift your hands to God right now as a way to say, God, I need you. And you can pray this prayer with me right here, right now. Let's all pray in support of those praying it right now. Say,
Dear Jesus,
thank you that because you love me, you died on the cross to pay for my sins.
You rose again
to give me life. Today, I open up my heart and ask you, please forgive me
of all my sins
and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I place my trust
not in what I do,
but in what you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you give God some praise in this place together right now?
Hello and welcome to Thrive Church. Whether you're online or on-site, we are so glad that you can join us today. My name is Raul and I will be sharing today's announcements. If this is your first time here, we would love to connect with you. Simply visit mythrive.info and click New to Thrive button, and there you can fill out a digital connect card. One of our team members will reach out and connect to send you a gift. Now, if you're on-site, it's even easier. Stop by the Welcome Center located at the main entrance where you can pick up your gift. You know what I've noticed recently is how much the leaves are growing on the trees, and that's a good sign of a healthy tree. Likewise, we too should be growing in our relationship with God. Want to grow in your relationship with God, but maybe you're not sure how? Maybe you need a refresher in knowing God personally? If this sounds like you, then Thrive Discipleship School Level 2, Growing in Your Relationship with God, is for you. Join us in this amazing course with other Thrivers on a powerful 6-week journey where you'll learn different keys to spiritual growth. Most of it takes place online, so you can learn whenever and wherever is most convenient for you. Plus, there are powerful live sessions where you'll have a safe space to experience the Holy Spirit at work in your life. If you're a new Christian or crave a deeper relationship with God, then sign up for TDS2, Growing in Your Relationship with God. It all starts on May 14. We can't wait for you to join us at TDS2, Growing in Your Relationship with God. Sign up today at mythrive.info. Are you ready for an unforgettable summer? Well, get ready, because Thrive's Summer Passion Groups are now open for sign-up. Thrive's Passion Groups are an interest-based small groups, and they're one of the best ways to help you connect with other Thrivers who share your interests. This coming summer, we're once again offering a variety of passion groups for you to choose from. And without a doubt, we've got a group that's perfect for you. So don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to have some fun, laughter, and meaningful conversations with other Thrivers. Sign up for a passion group today at mythrive.info. That's it for the announcements today. Thank you so much for being with us. We hope you leave today's service greatly encouraged to share and support the mission and ministries at Thrive Church. Make sure you visit mythrive.info to give your tithes and offerings. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Have an amazing rest of the day. We look forward to seeing you again here next Sunday. Until then, bye everyone.